Next Wednesday night and next Thursday, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. But before then, if you are going to work or if you go to school, then you have to arrange a day off. What do you say to your boss? What do you say to your teachers? And if they ask, what do you say to your friends when they ask you about why you're taking a day off so soon after the summer holidays? Now, I'm not telling you that you should explain all the fine details to your friends or to the bosses or to the teachers. In fact, Jesus Christ advised against this. Not that we should be ashamed of God's word, but again, we don't cast our pearls. But what about you in your own mind? Do you know why you will be having a day off next Thursday? Why will we all be having a day off next Thursday? Why will we be having special services right here? Just what is the Feast of Trumpets anyway? Is it merely an old Jewish ritual? Or is there really something special about the Feast of Trumpets? And what I'd like to do this morning is to go over and clarify some of the details of why and how we in God's church keep the Feast of Trumpets. First of all, let's ask the question, what is the Feast of Trumpets? And the simple answer is that it's one of God's feast days. It's actually the fourth out of, we have seven annual holy days, as you know, and this is the fourth of those seven holy days. We have four fall holy days, autumn holy days, and it's the first of the four holy days after the summer. And it's a very, very special feast day, a very special feast day. I've always looked at it as a very pivotal day. History hangs in the balance on the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. When we look at the symbolism in the Bible and the prophecies, we see that there are possibilities there that Jesus Christ was possibly born on the Feast of Trumpets, that his physical birth took place possibly on that day. And we believe that there's a strong possibility that Jesus Christ will return to this earth on the Feast of Trumpets. So we see that this day symbolizes a pivotal changeover from the age of man, from the age of darkness, man's rule under Satan's rule, changed over to the age of God, to the world tomorrow, to the millennium, and to the beginning of the kingdom of God. How exciting a day it is. But what do trumpets have to, why do trumpets have anything to do with this feast day? What do trumpets have to do with it? Well, there are many scriptures where we read in the Bible where blasts on a trumpet accompany some of the major tumultuous events of the end times, the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. I'd like to go through just a few of them today. Please turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Please turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Incredible happenings at the fulfillment of this day, the Feast of Trumpets. And please turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What does Paul mean here when he talks about the last trumpet? Why is it the last trumpet? Because this is the seventh and last trumpet of seven trumpet blasts, and each blast of a trumpet will herald major, awful, awesome end time events. The details can be found, the details of all seven of these trumpet blasts can be found in Revelation chapters 8, 9 and 11. And I'd just like to go to the last one again. Please turn to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus Christ is going to come and take over the reins of power of this world. And this will happen, brethren. This is real. The second question is, why do we keep the Feast of Trumpets? Why do we keep the Feast of Trumpets? And the answer is quite simple, because God commands us to. Please turn all the way back to Leviticus 23. I'd like to spend a little bit of time here. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts, God says, God's feasts. Down to verse 4, these are the feasts of the Eternal, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And all the way down to verse 23, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal. Now again, we keep the Feast of Trumpets because God commands us to. But God's commands are not empty. They're not purposeless. God's commands are always filled with common sense, and God's commands are always for very good reasons. And the reason he commands us to keep the Feast of Trumpets is that not just the Feast of Trumpets, but all of the holy days, all of God's holy days are like stop signs. On the Feast of Trumpets, God wants us to stop. He wants us to take a break from our regular daily routine and our work. And he wants to concentrate for a mere 24 hours on the things that are really important. Not the physical things, but the things that are really important, the eternal things, the truly eternal things, the return of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the end of this age of man, the beginning of the world tomorrow, the millennium, and the beginning of the kingdom of God. The third question is, who should keep the Feast of Trumpets? These commands from Leviticus, aren't they just Old Testament commands? Were they not commanded just for physical Israel, for Old Testament Israel only? Is this not a Jewish feast day, or at best an Israelite feast day? No, the answer is no. The first thing we have to remember here is that we are Israel. We are physical Israel. We in Canada, in the United States, in the British Commonwealth, in Western Europe, in France, talked to chatted online with Anna Boye this morning. She sends regards to all of you. We are the modern descendants of the children of Israel. And we in God's church are even more than that. We are the New Testament Israel of God. The physical Israel, the physical Israelites were God's Old Testament church, if you will. And conversely, the church of God today is the New Testament congregation of Israel. We are the Israel of God in the New Testament. And these feasts, as we saw in Leviticus chapter 23, these feasts are the feasts of the Lord, the feast of the eternal, the feasts of God. They're not the feast of the Jews or the Israelites. God's Sabbaths and God's holy days are for all mankind, not just for the Israelites. It's true that in Old Testament times, the Israelites were chosen. They were to be examples of God's way of life to the rest of mankind. And in the New Testament here and now, we hold that responsibility. The people of the Church of God hold the responsibility to shine God's example to the rest of the world. The example of how to keep God's way of life. That's God's way of life. And that includes keeping God's holy days. Fourth question. When should the Feast of Trumpets be kept? Still in Leviticus chapter 23, and to repeat verse 4, these are the feasts of the eternal, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. So, and this is the season of the four holy days. And again down to verse 23, and the eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So we are to keep the Feast of Trumpets on the first day of the seventh month of God's calendar. Now, if you take any regular calendar, most calendars that you have at home, you'll see that the Feast of Trumpets is in fact observed by the Jews. That's no problem. They call it Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year or first of the year. And the Feast of Trumpets is actually a New Year's Day. It's actually the first day of a new year. And in God's calendar, there are actually two new years. And there are actually two ways of counting the year. One, as we know, starts in the spring. And month number one is called in some places Abib, in some places called Nisan. And the other way of counting years is the administrative and financial year, which starts in the autumn, which starts on the Feast of Trumpets. It's month number 7, sometimes called Ethanim, sometimes called Tishri. So it's so you'll see sometimes that the seventh month is actually called a new year. Don't let that confuse you. The way of counting years is when all of the holy days start, and it goes through the holy day seasons. And the other one, if you think about it, goes from a sowing time to a harvest time. So it's dependent on the agricultural seasons. And finally, the fifth question is, how should the Feast of Trumpets be kept? Now let's repeat Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 24 and 25 once again. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the eternal. So there's actually five instructions here of how we should be keeping the Feast of Trumpets. And the first one is that it should be kept like a Sabbath day. So it should. And the second one is associated with that, in that no servile work should be done. Servile work is like a regular day's work. You shouldn't go to work on that day. And that would include school as well. So you shouldn't be doing school work on that day, or homework. Now, a small amount of work is okay and is permitted by God, specifically for the food preparation for the feast itself. So we're able to do that on the Feast of Trumpets, no problem. But as much as possible, we should do that preparation on the previous day, which God's Word does actually call the day of preparation. Now, the third instruction with regards to how we should keep the feast is that trumpets should be blown. Now, I'm not going to come up here and blow a trumpet. If we had somebody like Gilbert Boyer, who knows how to play a trumpet, he'd probably do that. He probably will do that on the Feast of Trumpets, I would think. But we don't have an accomplished trumpeter in our midst. But still, we like to remember the Feast of Trumpets and this instruction. And usually what we do during the Holy Day offering is we play some trumpet music to remind us of that command. And the fourth instruction is that a holy convocation should be held. And as you know, all a holy convocation is a church service, basically. And we, of course, because it's a special day, we have two church services, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And we separate those services with a potluck lunch. We have a physical feast. It's a feast day. So we have a physical feast and enjoy that. And finally, the final instruction there of how we should keep the day is that an offering should be taken up on that day. And God does not require in the New Testament, he does not require that animal sacrifices be offered by fire, not in the New Testament. And of course, we give monetary offerings, which are used in a practical way for the running of the church and for the ongoing work of preaching the gospel. So, whether you're a young person in the church or whether you're an adult in the church, we have kept God's feasts for so many years. To any of the brethren, to any of the young people, are God's feasts becoming burdensome to you? Are they old hat? Are you losing interest in God's holy days? Do you take them for granted? Or are you excited about God's holy days like you should be? Are you sincerely looking forward to God's holy days? So God's four holy days, for all of us, brethren, let us think deeply about the meaning and the symbolism that God's Word shows. Let us look forward to God's four holy days, and let's prepare for them with excitement, with anticipation, and with joy.